The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
This morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Wednesday, the 17th of September, 2025, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. Now, it's a Wednesday. It's supposed to be a man down, mashup Wednesday. We are awaiting the arrival of Mr. Newry, host of Guardian Radio AM. Today, we typically combine the two shows, talk about what's in the news, kind of panel style. But right now, I'm in the studio by myself, and I think that's a good thing. I think that may be a good thing just for the moment. First of all, let me remind you of the Loyalist Charles Farquharson Will Competition open to junior and high school students across the archipelago. To win the prize, we need two pieces of information: the government recording record for Loyalist Charles Farquharson's will. That's the government recording record for Loyalist Charles Farquharson's will and the recorded date. The recorded date of Loyalist Charles Farquharson's death, open to junior and senior high school students across the archipelago. Four students will be chosen, one from one of four districts in New Providence, Grand Bahama, San Salvador, and the rest of the family of islands. Call the show, ask for the producer, we'll transfer you, you give the producer your information, then the organizers will contact you at end of day. There's lots to talk about. I got to start the show by saying, did you guys know that yesterday, I think in the United States of America, yesterday was Guacamole Day? The 16th of September is American Guacamole Day. And I know everybody in Nassau, guacamole, and this just pears everywhere. Pears everywhere. I hope you all know what to do with your local pears. I'm going to bring in one of my pears to talk about pears and other agricultural topics as the grow season, as the agriculture grow season begins. I'm looking to try and start that conversation next week. It's time to start getting seeds in the ground and preparing land and landscape for your farming venture for 2025-2026 grow season. Also, have you seen the sign on the eastern at the entrance to the Eastern Road? It's correct. Eastern Road has more craters than Gaza. I'm not making light of the genocide that is taking place in Gaza right now. Next week, I want to take a whole show to talk about that, to talk about the Palestinian people and the Israeli people. But yeah, the Eastern Road has just about as many craters as Gaza. It's not just the Eastern Road. It's also Johnson Road. It's not just the Eastern Road and Johnson Road, you know. It's that the craters, the potholes are occurring in the very same spaces. It's the same pothole. Potholes say, I shall ride again. You shall not, because I shall break your tire. But, yeah, it's the very same potholes that y'all paid people to patch before. And those are the same potholes that you paid them to patch before that. Have you noticed that they're not doing a good job at patching? And guess what? I'm sure they're sitting there. If it wasn't for the medley 1 month of rain, nobody would have known what a terrible job we did cold patching the potholes. Again, cold patching is not paving, Ministry of Works, and whoever signs off on the finances for said projects. Also, before I get into the first story, you took a look at today's Tribune? All I want to know is, how did you get a 6,000-pound lobster on board the plane? The headline says 6,000-pound lobster on board plane that crashed during takeoff in West End. Yes, if you put a 6,000-pound lobster on the plane could crash. First of all, how you find one lobster that big? See, the producers reminded me that they couldn't mean that they found a 6,000-pound lobster and put it. What they meant was 6,000 pounds of lobster on board. I know that, producer. I don't know if the writers know that. We're going to talk about education later in the show. I got one story I want to get to before that, but you think the 6,000-pound lobster is still there? Oh, boy. I don't want to see it. My Grammy, Corinne Mitchell, bless her soul, and also, rest in peace, Helen Mitchell, anniversary of her death passed a couple of days ago. She said, you could bring me anything. I said, Grammy, what you want to eat? What you want to eat? Me and this $5, we can bust a hole in it. What you want to eat? Grammy said, you could bring me anything but watermelon. I don't ever want to eat another piece of watermelon in my entire life. Of course, she grew up in Andrus, right? You know how stalled you could be a lobster if you even try to eat the 6,000-pound lobster? Anyway, two pilots escaped injury after a 1941 DC-3 carrying almost 6,000 pounds of lobster veered off the runway during takeoff at West End Airport, Grand Bahama, on Monday. The DC-3 had flown in from Fort Lauderdale to collect freight for export when it struggled to get airborne. Around 2:30 p.m., the vintage aircraft... Oh, there it is. Briefly lifted off the runway before dropping back down, skidding left and plowing into bushes along the airport's northern perimeter. I'm glad that the pilots escaped injury. I hope you all secured a lobster here. I hope you all went out there and secured that lobster. I'd hate to think that 6,000 pounds of lobster went to waste. That would be horrible. Okay, so... the first story I wanted to touch on before we even get into today's headlines. They've already met me in the headlines. F&M demands answers over Grand Bahama Airport. Pintard says, show us the deal, the contracts and financing sheets. Free National Movement leader Michael Pintard is demanding answers from the Davis administration after Deputy Prime Minister Chester Cooper revealed that the government is organizing alternative funding for the Grand Bahama International Airport. In a statement released yesterday, Pintard called Cooper's revelation a, quote, gross example, close quotes, of the government's inability to keep promises. He accused the government of misleading the public, as he said Prime Minister Philip Davis previously stated in 2023 that funds for the airport had been secured. Quote, in 2023, the PM loudly declared that $200 million had already been secured and, quote, drawn down, close quotes, from the UK to rebuild the airport. Close quotes, the statement said. Quote, in plain terms, that means the government received the funds in hand. Quote, the government named partners, touted attractive terms, and assured Grand Bahamians that work was about to begin. Quote, but the story now changes. Now the Deputy Prime Minister's contradicted. And we don't even have a deputy. See, why would you even say the Deputy Prime Minister when you're speaking directly to his portfolio? The Minister of Tourism, Investment, and Aviation. Right, y'all? That's a part of the problem. Y'all... Now the minister is contradicting the Prime Minister. Not only was the $200 million never drawn down, but we... Okay, that's what you say. His version, the DPM's version, is that the funding never materialized. Quote, who's telling the truth? This is not a slip of the tongue, close quotes. Well, I got a couple of questions myself, because you see, yesterday I told you all, I said it in a way, I said I don't really pay attention to Freeport because you all just play pokey. That's not what I meant. What I meant was that this particular issue with the Grand Lucayan Hotel is so voluminous, it's so full, complicated, nuanced, and it's historic, right? That to tackle the subject, the way that I'd like to tackle it would be a series of shows. Over, we have to do day after day after day. So I've typically stayed away from it. But just doing a little bit of reading last night, after yesterday, a caller asked, is it possible for NAD, the Nassau Airport Development Company, to take on essentially GBI, a Grand Bahama International Airport, right? And I said, there possibly could be the establishment of a similar entity to do the same thing for GBIA that NAD did for LPIA. And then, lo and behold, I find this article, New Freeport Airport Development Company established to oversee construction of world-class airport in Grand Bahama. This was posted on the local Tourism Today website. Tourism Today. Now, I found this because I was looking for this statement that the Ministry of Tourism issued yesterday, right? They issued this statement, on the redevelopment of Grand Bahama International Airport, Ministry of Tourism, Investment and Aviation, 16th of September, 2025. The redevelopment of Grand Bahama International Airport remains a central priority for this administration and is key to the island's economic renewal. We are in the final stages of securing funding and concluding agreements on airport management. These steps will allow construction to proceed and ensure the delivery of a modern world-class facility. Manchester Airports Group, I just want to stick another pin right here. All of the media houses, the Ministry of Tourism, all these government agencies, y'all can't get the name of the company correct? When you go on the company's website, it says Manchester Airports Group with an S at the end of airport. Anyway, back to the statement. Manchester Airports Group, the UK's largest airport management group, continues to work with us as a key partner in shaping the airport's development and management. Their role has not been and will not be to provide funding. Alongside the Bahamian Consortium of Contractors, they are a part of the team that will deliver the project for the people of Grand Bahama. We will make a further statement on the funding partner in short order. Our focus is on results. Grand Bahama will have the airport it needs to grow, attract investment, and strengthen its role as a gateway to the Bahamas. So are y'all going to restructure? Is it going to be a PPPP? Public-private-private partnership? Anyway, so that statement was issued yesterday. I saw it floating about. I couldn't find it, right? Like, I couldn't find the statement on a Ministry of Tourism website or the government website. And what I mean is when I search statement on the redevelopment of Grand Bahama International Airport and I put the date in and I put tourism, I get nothing, right? So I'm trying to find the statement so I could just copy and paste it as opposed to having to type out the whole thing for today's show. Of course, you can't find it anywhere because when you all share press statements, you all share pictures of statements and not actual documents. And if you're worried about people altering the document, first of all, they could do that anyway, you know, whether you share it as a JPEG or a PDF, it don't matter. They could do that anyway. But if you actually had a media protocol that people could trust that when information is posted to a particular government site, that we all know that this here is the verifiable information. Like, if y'all did that, then y'all wouldn't have to be doing all of this foolishness like having a government website where nobody could copy and paste anything from it. Yeah? Okay, back to what we were talking about. So while I was looking for this statement that was issued by the Ministry of Tourism yesterday, this is what I found on the Tourism Today website. Again, New Freeport Airport Development Company established to oversee construction of world-class airport in Grand Bahama. Tourism Today, 22nd of August, 2022. The Honorable Chester Cooper and Minister of Tourism, Investments and Aviation, in a statement on Sunday, the 21st of August, announced the appointment of a 7-member board of directors for the newly established Freeport Airport Development Company, known as FAD. Dear caller, while I was telling you that they could establish an entity similar to or mirroring that for GBIA, it turns out that they already did that in 2022. The Freeport Airport Development Company, FAD, will function similarly to the Nassau Airport Development Company, NAD, overseeing the management and redevelopment of the GBIA. In addition to overseeing the redevelopment of the new airport, the board will serve as the evaluation committee of proposals shortlisted for the private-public partnership for the redevelopment of the Grand Bahama Airport. See, in 2022, it was only a private-public partnership. They didn't add another private. Because even the Marines short on staff. We need all the privates we could get. DPM Cooper said in the statement that the creation of FAD, that's the Freeport Airport Development Company, is a fulfillment of the government of the Bahamas' promise to ensure GBIA is rebuilt as soon as possible. Now, some of y'all may be thinking that this is not real, right? Like, maybe they said they were going to establish a body, but they didn't actually establish it, right? Like, maybe they got all the way there, and maybe, you know, and they didn't do it, but I will continue reading from the article. Tira Ramming, a certified public accountant with a wealth of experience in business and finance, has been appointed chairman of FAD. So they appointed people. The board was appointed. Ramming will provide oversight of all aspects of the airport's redevelopment. Board members include Peter Rutherford, managing director of the Airport Authority. I'm just saying, if you're managing director of the Airport Authority, that's a real person. That's a real board. This thing existed. It appears. Then. But I haven't seen it appear in these discussions. When I say these discussions, I mean the articles online. Like, I don't... Yesterday's statement reported in the media by the Minister for Investments in Aviation yesterday, when he announced that the funding, that they were seeking alternative funding, he never mentioned FAD, Freeport Airport Development Corporation. In all of the statements carried in articles yesterday in the paper, nobody mentioned FAD. Okay, so there's also attorney Cassietta McIntosh, Albert Hepburn, a businessman, Forrester Carroll, a businessman, Julian Sawyer, an engineer, airline executive Harold Williams, and a representative from the Tourism Development Company. But we don't have a... I thought we have a Tourism Development Corporation. The Grand Bahama Airport, which sustained extensive damages during Dorian in 2019, was purchased by the Bahamas government in 2021 through the Airport Authority. Completion of the redevelopment of the airport is slated for 2025, according to Cooper. So on my phone, found another article this morning. I'm sharing this with you all just for your interest. Like, if you want to read up on this sort of issue and you want some links, like where to start. Because lots of people are interested in what's happening in their country, interested in specific issues, you know. But the question of where to start, how do I start this journey? So there is an article bought, Government Acquires Grand Bahama International Airport. I am pulling it up now, waiting for that data to kick in. Anyway, I just thought that I'm going to join the choir in demanding answers, because in all of this discussion, even with what we read from Pintard, the leader of the opposition's commentary demanding answers over GB Airport, nobody references FAD. Nobody talks about the Freeport Airport Development Company. Anyway, so this is an Eyewitness News article from April 29th, 2021. Boost. Oh boy, I don't know why this website. There we go. Bought. Government acquires Grand Bahama International Airport, April 29th, 2021. The government concluded the purchase of Grand Bahama International Airport, bringing the number of airports under the Airport Authority's ownership to 30. Today, April 29th, 2021, the final contract is being executed to complete the purchase transaction, close quotes, read a statement. The airport comprises 2,500 acres, inclusive of an 11,000-foot runway. The government advised that employees in the management team will transition to the subsidiary that will now be wholly owned by the authority. As has been indicated, the government plans to redevelop the airport and through the Department of Aviation will issue a request for proposals within 90 days in order to finalize a public-private partnership to develop and manage the airport. The authority has contracted Leigh Fisher, a Canadian international consulting firm, which specializes in airport projects to steward the RFP process. So initially, they were working with a Canadian international consulting firm, and more recently, they developed a PPP with the Manchester Airports Group. Producer, let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Morning, how are you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
Okay, without the consent of the owners, the government cannot do anything about Freeport. And I think Bahamians need to understand this. Freeport is what they call a pre-constitutional entity. It means that Freeport has as much right, the same rights, as a Bahamian person. Okay? Now, you know, all this back and forth we've been having about, you know, about this place for the past, 50 plus years?
Mm-hmm.
Until the major shareholders decide to do something, nothing of substance is going to happen in Freeport.
Okay, but so, however, the same way that I haven't seen FAD, Freeport Airport Development Company, arise in any of these conversations, it's the same way I haven't heard any government actor say, hey, you know, the big holdup is the owners of Freeport.
They can't say it.
Why they can't say it if it's the truth? If it's the truth, why can't it be said?
Okay. When Prime Minister Pendleton made the bend or break speech, right?
Mm-hmm.
Freeport, the investors in Freeport, the original and those who hold the cards now, did not bend. And to that extent, Freeport remains broken.
Okay.
And it stays broken until the government stops playing games. We don't own Freeport. Okay? Bahamians don't own Freeport.
I got you.
All right.
Thank you.
I guess this is where I interject right now.
Good morning, Mr. Nuri. How are you doing?
Yeah, when you start talking Freeport, we need to have more learned people give contribution to it. I'm not saying that the
general... No, more learned than me.
Yeah, not more learned than us.
Yeah.
We need more learned people to give contribution to it. We have had about two or three shows on what's wrong with Freeport before, and to try to explain the entity and who owns what, et cetera, et cetera. We know we have the Port Authority. We know there are various owners. The government is supposed to be an owner with several percentage in the Port Authority. Then they have licensees who the owners of the Port Authority answers to. A large number of the licensees are Bahamians, right? For Freeport to change, the licensees need to demand who have the shares that these are the things I need.
Listen,
these are the responsibilities
I can be honest with
that you have.
Let me express this. When you so pleased and so disappointed at the same time,
mm-hmm.
Like I'm so pleased to see Professor Gilbert Morris
mm-hmm.
working with the government.
Good.
And I'm so disappointed at the same time because I can't just call on him
mm-hmm.
to join a conversation,
mm-hmm.
right? Because protocol has been established,
yes.
right? And he's bound by the scope of his employment.
Yes.
that gentleman is a wealth of knowledge on the development and the evolution of Grand Bahama and the Freeport it contains, right? And I say it like that, that it contains, because it, I can't even, let's go to the caller producer, I can't even tolerate this idea, they tolerate in my mind, right? This idea then when you say Freeport is owned by some, first of all, how could a mechanism like a Freeport, a free trade zone, be owned, right? And then
it's the corporation. Let's say we have a corporation as an entity.
Yeah, because
and the entity is managed by people, but it has several owners. It's not two people, three people.
Wait until wait until they tell you that the corporation is also a place.
Yeah,
the that's the same. No, yeah. I can't tolerate any of
this. Let's go to the caller.
Yeah, I just can't tolerate it. Good morning, caller.
Yeah, good morning, Aaron and CA.
Morning.
You're talking about the government of the Bahamas, eh? And the government of the Bahamas could do anything that they want.
With compensation.
In the interest.
You know it has to have.
The interest of the country and the Bahamian.
But they must pay compensation.
Then we can deal with that later.
No. You can't say. You can't.
Need to step in and do what they need to do to get Freeport rolling. Now, what I would like to do, would any commission salesman in this finder's fee, is there any finder's fee involved in this? This collapse? Did the government lose any money in this at the taxpayers' expense? How much money was lost, if any? All of these things are important, you know.
But finders' fees usually with sale. Nothing was sold,
yes.
Eh?
Yes.
Hold on.
Have they been paid any commission?
Pause, sir.
What was sold?
Hold on, wait. Are you suggesting that the finders' fees are available for sales of...
I don't know. I know it was involved there for Patelco and some other thing.
No, man. I can't. Oh, producer, play the gospel music.
Aaron, we know a finder's fee was involved.
Yeah. No, I'm not. I didn't ask them to play the gospel music for you. I asked them to play it for me.
No, but then I want to know if I was. Oh, then, let me just ask this pertinent question then. How much money did the government lose in this failed project, or did we lose any money?
I can appreciate that question, and hopefully
that's a better question.
No, man, I like it.
Hopefully, the oppositions, and put it in plural, the COI and the FNM.
I am almost convinced that we lost some money in this.
And like I said, hopefully the opposition asks that question, but none of them are asking that question.
It's a key question.
Yeah, but none of them.
I don't want to know.
Thank you, Duncan. I can ask it. I appreciate the point that you're making to the opposition not asking that question, but I can ask the question. I think it's a good question, and not just for this particular issue. Producer, let's prep the next caller that in these contractual negotiations, right, how much money is spent on each negotiation, whether it is the selected bidder or not, all right, or whether... So
we expect money to be spent.
Remember when the company said, yeah, government, we're going to need to ask y'all. Y'all going to need to give us that $1 million for breaching the terms of the contract that you signed with us?
Yes.
And it was just that they didn't follow through?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we got to figure out how many relationships exist. How many people you out there talking to, right?
Mm-hmm.
How far along has the relationship evolved? How much money has been spent?
But typically, as negotiation progress, right, you do not state what is happening. So the question I hear...
Do it on the back end.
Yeah, then maybe...
Let's not... But let, or there
demand
is
a, that after the
no,
contract
no,
is
no,
signed.
No, no, pause. It's not a demanded after the contract is signed. First of all, if you sign in contracts with the government, they need to be public.
Yeah, the public is there, but the information in the contract is not taken.
It needs to be public. No, look here. What are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing that the public can't know about?
Mm-hmm.
What exactly is happening here that the public cannot know about? See, that's it right there. Forget all of that foolishness. What are you doing that the public can't know about?
Mm.
What is it? Oh, the terms of the agreement?
Mm-hmm.
That's foolishness. The public should be able to know about it. You negotiate. You're not even negotiating like on our behalf.
Mm-hmm.
You work for us. This is our country. This is our government. These are our resources. This is our land. This ain't your own because you're an administration. And even if it were, let's just say even if it were, right, mm-hmm. you abdicated that. You abdicated that by disregarding, dishonoring, right, and destroying, degrading the integrity of the institutions that actually vest the authority in you. Mm-hmm. You're the one eroding the institutions that give you authority, not us. You're the one refusing to declare your assets and then turning around and saying that Bahamian people are just too nosy, year after year after year after year. Y'all are the ones refusing to capitulate to campaign finance reform, refusing to pass the Beneficial Owners Act. Right? Y'all are the ones doing that, not the general public. You have eroded your own authority vested in you. If we would accept that you had that authority vested in you to just do whatever you want, you could no longer expect to have that authority. Mm-hmm. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller.
Hello.
Hi, good morning.
Yeah. Professor Gilbert, I am pretty sure we are seeing the result of them not following his ideas. That's because I'm pretty sure if he were running this Bahamas, man, this would be a place I really want to be.
I know, but let's let him work. I shouldn't even call his name, but I just, you know, that's an individual that has a wealth of knowledge.
You're telling me?
Yeah.
And the thing about it is he don't care who you are or the line, he will talk to you.
Yes.
You know, he doesn't discriminate. But wait, I'm glad Nuri joined you. Mm-hmm. I want to introduce you to an electronic component and apply it to where governance is happening today, okay?
Okay.
The component is called a buck converter. Now, what it does is this. It could take like 100 volts on the input and step it down. This is DC current now, not alternating. And step it down to like 12 volts or maybe 10 volts. My question to you is, it's taking in 100 volts and putting out less than 100. Where does that extra voltage that is go? Let's say it takes in 50 and put out 25. Where did the other 25 go? See, that's why when I go to Ethiopia, I don't just go to sign agreement for the Bahamas. I go to get my other 25 on.
Mm-hmm.
You got it?
Mm-hmm.
Think about that.
Yes, sir. Mr. Nuri, when we move to the next segment, mm-hmm. I have something I want to share with you.
Okay.
Thank you very much, caller. So I just wanted to touch on that, right? Like in all of the conversation, all of the articles, all of the statements and responses, up until yesterday, I didn't even know that a Freeport Airport Development Company existed or that it had been established to provide a similar function as the Nassau Airport Development mm-hmm. Company. And I read from the statement from the Ministry of Tourism, Investment and Aviation. Again, I will reiterate, they say we will make a further statement on the funding partner in short order.
Yes. We don't know when.
Yeah.
It's going to be delay. Perhaps this year, perhaps next year.
I'm going to be honest with you. I have no faith. But this is a very simple reason why. Because
mm-hmm.
y'all don't even know the company's called Manchester Airports Group mm. and not Manchester Airport Group. I'm just saying. It's the small things. It's the small things. All right, Mr. Nuri, I know that we were going to talk about education this morning. It is definitely in the newspapers as well. Here's a couple of headlines I just wanted to put on the table before we go to a break, producer. TUC president calls for minimum wage to $350. That was in yesterday's Tribune. U.S. names Bahamas among major drug transit countries. This story is also in today's Guardian. The Bahamas once again named on U.S. list of major drug transit countries. And then taxi cab union warns patience has run out over livery drivers at LPIA. Mm. And Mr. Nuri, the taxi cab union using some very, very strong language here, right?
Strong language.
It's very frustrating, but I think our frustration is basically coming to an end. And I think in short order, the union is going to have to take the next step in this process. Because in our opinion, the government is not acting in good faith. Mr. Butler, president of the BTCU, said, I just don't know if the BTCU, if the taxi drivers come into this with clean hands. You know, when they say in the court of equity, everybody have to have clean hands, mm-hmm. right? I just don't know. Do you know what your drivers be doing on the road? Mm. I mean, do you every day, drivers obstructing traffic by driving 4 miles an hour up the road with nothing in front of them and nothing to tow, and sometimes not even tourists in the car. They turn left on red. Anyway, you know turning left on red without a sign saying you could do that is against the law and you're a dirty criminal. And then they can say, but that's not criminal law. That's not the criminal side. That's just a traffic offense. He's a dirty criminal, man. It's 2025. And you know, you can only do it where there's a sign indicating you could do it. I just, every time, and I feel so bad, like I feel so bad for the good taxi drivers. Because I have to say to the good taxi drivers, man, it's not my job. It's not my job to pull your colleagues in line. It's not my job to remember the general public to cause and compel taxi drivers to moderate their behavior, to govern themselves and follow the law.
I see the government say they're dealing with it. Whatever that means. They said they're looking at the logistics of moving delivery drivers. They're looking at the logistics of creating a proper taxi stand. So the conversation is happening. Now the question is, when will be the conclusion?
The conversation has been happening. What language are they speaking? Mm. Are they even speaking English? Because the conversation has been happening. And quite frankly, I mean, because all I could remember is when the former president of the union, sitting next to the minister responsible for transport at a press conference, said, no, man, the union is good. Be good for another 100 years. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Ms. Green.
Good morning.
He good for the next 100 years. That's why he ain't there today. But listen to me. I got to switch off just a little. Just an overline today.
No, I mean,
slam bomb man down.
Not really open line, but make it quick.
I know you from Fox Hill. There's something to do with Fox Hill.
Okay.
I saw where the Prime Minister and Mr. Mitchell those give out some 24.
Oh, conveyances, hey.
Conveyances.
You see that, hey?
Claire title.
Claire
title.
I saw that this morning
and
with people.
Listen to the screen.
Yes, sir.
I know quite a few of the people.
Mm-hmm.
They're not just, I want nobody to say they're just PLPs. Because I know at least three or four of those family members who are real Fox supporters. But everybody got, who's eligible that so far got their surveying on yesterday. And I think Mr. Mitchell should be commended for that.
Okay.
Now, when they do bad, people just make noise.
Stop.
When they do good, get them.
No. Don't hang up. Don't go.
No, I ain't.
Good stuff. Don't go. But no. We're not celebrating them for doing their job, a job that should have been 30 years ago.
When they don't do their job.
No. They still have to fall on their sword. See, that's why.
Okay.
That's why we need to take examples sometimes from like Japan and China, you know. You doing it, but it was done 20 years too late. You supposed to eat. You supposed to eat the blame of your forebears, the people who came before you. Plus, how long Fred Mitchell been in government?
But Ms. Mitchell,
yes,
is
sir.
Ever a wrong time to do the right thing?
No, but there's a wrong way to do the right thing, and suggesting. Right? Even suggesting that there is praise due. None of them should even suggest that. All they should do is apologize because...
Well, I'm not praising it for being done, you know. I am just happy. I got you. I said, let me speak about it because I'm happy now that that is 24 people.
I know.
Who don't have to worry about... And let me say this in closing.
Mm-hmm.
The 24 of the families are behemoths.
I feel you. No
so
problem.
That, you know, that is something we should think about.
But listen, what if it's 24 out of 24,000?
That means it ain't the whole 24,000. That means it'll be, I ain't got on that much a mass.
But I got you.
24 less you have to worry about.
I got you. Thank you. And I appreciate the sentiment, right, that we celebrate. Yes, we celebrate for these people who have been waiting such a long time, but we cannot and cannot tolerate the celebration of those people who, quote-unquote, caused it to happen. It's supposed to happen. The question that you now need to answer is, why didn't it happen? And since there's so many people that can't get it to happen for them, then you need to do an investigation to determine what's the barrier for it happening. And that a Fred Mitchell is involved suggests even more inquiry, because this boy been in government since King, with Jonah from that boy was a sardine. Fred Mitchell been in government. I know people who've been waiting 30 and 40 years for these types of things, conveyances for the final documents for the crown land, right? That y'all keep approving in principle right before election time, and then people still can't get the paperwork 10 and 20 years later. We shall not celebrate any of it as a government success, but we celebrate with the people who finally, right, like achieved this milestone. It's just like the two articles. I'm going to see if I still have them here, because I really do hope I still have them here. Yesterday, we were supposed to talk about the weather. I had two articles with the minister responsible for energy and transport, I imagine, in her community. And two articles came out, and I'm going to be gracious and just say that obviously it was a typo. But in the first article, we have the minister responsible speaking to an audience, telling them that she will devise a mechanism for residents to access resources in the midst of issues like storms like this, right? And it was from the minister. The statement was attributed to the minister. In a follow-up article, in a secondary article, right, the same sentiment is attributed to the MP, where the MP for the area says to the residents in the constituency that I'm attempting to facilitate, right? I'm attempting to make available resources for the community. And it's these words are so important, right? Because if the Minister of Energy and Transport said it, then you can't just do it for your constituency, hey? It must be something done for the whole country. Now, if the MP says it, they could do it for their own constituency and then bear the burden of being seen to be stingy and only doing things for votes, right? And in the same way, these words and terms are so very, very important. Producer, we can go to a break? Let's go to a break, and when we... hold on, I see the caller. Let's go to the caller if they're still there. Good morning, caller. 2, 3... You're on the clock with Aaron Green. Stay tuned. We're coming right back.
Now, after all these years of ups and downs, it seems as though things are finally coming around. Because all my life I've been running around. Time for me to settle down. I need a lady that is sweet as candy to sweeten up my life.
Hey, why you look so mashed up, like clothes at the washer?
No, boy, just a hard day. What?
Hard day? What happened? The breakfast lady ran out of tuna and gritsy.
We need to start joking with everything, you know. This serious, boy. This real serious, boy.
Wait, what's serious? Tell me.
All right, well, today, boss gave us boy one big, big contract. And nobody else get a chance and nobody say nothing.
Boy, you know that ain't right. You know government contracts ain't supposed to go that way.
Yeah, but nobody saying nothing. Boss man just tell people to sign the papers. Then he send me to meet his boy downtown and collect this envelope.
You need to tell somebody. You need to become a whistleblower.
You know I's a real man, but I never blow no whistle. I be drunk all my life in Junkano.
No way. A whistleblower is someone who tells people what they see when they see something wrong happening at work.
But I ain't no whistleblower, and I ain't no snitch. I still wait there, you know.
But ain't nobody gonna know it's you. All you gotta do is call Crime Stoppers, or you could text them from inside the Crack Crime Bahamas app. They don't ask about you, and your call goes straight through to Miami, so nobody know you is. And if you text, your message get mixed up like Kong Salad.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Parents, don't ignore your children's dreams. In Genesis 37, Joseph shared his dreams, and though his father dismissed them, those very dreams revealed his destiny. God is still speaking to children today, even in their sleep. And as parents, we must listen, cover, and nurture. That's why I created the Children's Dream Journal, a tool to help you capture and protect what God is revealing to your kids. You can purchase your copy now on Amazon, or join me, Trishawn Hanna, at my book signing Saturday, September 20th at 2 p.m. We'll be at Template, located on Jerome Avenue. This event is sponsored by CT Management, Template, Bahama Odds and Ends, Bake Party World, and Job 3314 Dreamer. Let's guard the destiny in our children's dreams together.
When it comes to hearts at Cleveland Clinic, you can't miss a beat. You seek the best care possible, work with the brightest minds, and leave no stone unturned to get to the heart of the matter. Because understanding is always the first step to overcoming. For every heart in the world, see how we're advancing the future of heart care at Cleveland Clinic today.
Don't wait for a storm to arrive. Stock up on hurricane supplies, make home repairs, purchase a generator, and more this hurricane season with a Fidelity personal loan. Make that move today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
For fast, reliable, and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
It was a long time ago, I want you to know, Mackey Street was called Simonomo. I had lots of friends, we had no toys, but hey, we were the Valley Boys. We were closer than family way back then. Right here, I'd like to mention a few of them.
Welcome back to On the Clock with Aaron Green. Boy, my producer would like to surprise me. That's a sweet little... Anytime I hear reference to anything Bahamian in a song, I go crazy. From Donash, say, lick you like super value stamp. I say, wow, what's wrong with this imagery? But these Bahamians, that's what we do. And we need to be doing more of it. So we're at the end of the hour. When we transition into the next hour, we're going to be talking about education. There are lots of headlines this morning. Hannah Martin says there's a dire shortage of English teachers. We're going to flip over. Ministry looking to hire more special needs teachers. And then we go into today's papers. See what the Tribune is. Rise in students unable to speak English in school, says Wilson. We're going to be talking a bit about that in a moment. Mr. Newry, You see any good texts this morning?
I see one or two.
Okay, here's one. Good morning, Ms. Green. About the drug transshipment, don't the drugs have a supplier, transport, and a receiver? Shipment can't happen without the other two. Look here, just once they understand that we're not producing the drugs, right? I could be honest. This is, I see what the Ministry of Education is doing. We ain't producing nothing. Let Trump know. All right, back to the conversation, says another text. Election time, without a doubt, conveyance is timely. I want your vote. Yeah, man, if Mr. Mitchell could do it for Fox Hill, then he can ensure that it is done for every constituency in the country. Hey, I think that makes sense. Here's another text. Good morning, Aaron. How many MPs did what Honorable Mitchell did yesterday? He should be commended for it because those individuals now have full ownership of their land left by their forefathers. No. How many MPs could Mr. Mitchell have facilitated to provide the same service or support or assistance to their constituents? No. You want me to celebrate him for being stingy? No. We're not going to do that. Here's another text. Aaron, all I have to say is the things this government is doing is diabolical. Aaron, there is a deep pothole at the East and Shirley Street traffic light intersection. There's another deep pothole in the same place as an old pothole opposite the western gate of Solomar Hotel past Gambier. Like I said, the Eastern Road, wherever all the potholes used to be, that's where they are again. Johnson Road, same thing. And they ain't just regular potholes. These are craters. They have come back with a vengeance. I just don't understand. Would you be paying the people at the ministry to do as Ministry of Works? My God, woman, you could talk, you create scenarios and argue with yourself, and whenever someone calls in, you cut them off. Just a bunch of nothing. Like the text here. This is a, like this text. Thank you, texter. Here's another one. Morning. Yeah, your texts are coming through. Here we go. Hey, Aaron. Those lawbreakers are missed. That is the proper word for them, seeing that nobody wants to call them criminals. Okay. Yeah, I think that's in reference to the fact, like, if you break in traffic laws, you're a lawbreaker. And if you do it with your children in the car, you're teaching them to break the law with you. That's all. I ain't being mean. I ain't being disgusting. If you break in the laws regularly, as a matter of course, like if you say out loud, I don't care what, I got someplace to go, you're a lawbreaker. And if you're doing that with your children in the car, you're teaching them to break the law. That's all. I ain't rowing you. I just saying. Hey, here we go. Great show as usual. I circle a map of the entire Nassau because everywhere is potholes. See, that's our problem. We keep calling it Nassau. The whole of New Providence is becoming a pothole. And coal patching is not paving. This has been On the Clock with Aaron Green. Stay tuned because Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newry is up next.
I met Eddie Swan when I was about 4. By the graveyard, we call Seminole. Roscoe Clinton,
he was a
always free. Mary Smith went to Freeport, and there she stayed. Donnell and Clyde, we all ran amok. And even Everett Strong,
he was a body
lived up. We had good and bad times, definitely so. Because we were products of
Seminole.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.